Our scripture is taken from Psalm 139, and I'll read that this morning. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For you created and formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, I inadvertently there was reading from the NIV, so I'm sorry, but I switched over to the NRSV. But you got a double version there. So, but we are in the Epiphany season, and how many know that people around the world, some around the world, are celebrating Christmas today? How many knew that? Yeah, there may be a couple of hundred million people in Russia and Ukraine and Armenia and many other nations around this world that celebrated Christmas. But we are moving forward in this series of God's purpose for our lives. I shared with you a few weeks ago that I had a bout with the flu, and then with the severe pain in my stomach, and I was diagnosed with viral gastroenteritis. My wife says that's a long word there, but other things were going too, and so the hospital decided that I needed testing, so I had my first CAT scan a few weeks ago. It's pretty amazing technology. The full game name is computed tomography. I've had other types of scans before, but the first time for a CAT scan. It's amazing. They looked at my upper chest and my lower stomach, and it's really expensive equipment that can take up to 320 slices or picture of your body, and they can see every part in that area and what is good and what needs to be improved. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how God has searched us and known us too. The Bible says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. And God knows what is going on in our body, and God also knows what is going on in our hearts and minds. God knows our every movement each day, and God knows what we're thinking of doing next. And like the CAT scan that can see our internal organs, God knows what's going on in our spiritual heart. So we can say to God, Lord, I am uncertain right now, and I am not sure what you want me to do, and I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but God can search us and show us our heart and show us what's happening in our lives. The scripture says in Psalm 139, that search me and know me. So God knows all our thoughts. It's almost scary to think that God knows our thoughts, all of them. And not only does God know our thoughts right now, but God knows what thoughts you will have in the next hour, tomorrow, and next year. Psalm 139:4 says, even before there is a word on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. While this is a bit daunting, it is also comforting that someone knows us so completely. It's like we have a guide on the journey who knows what lies around the bend. I know some of you perhaps have gone fishing and hunting and hiking, and you've had a guide, and they've shown you where to go. And without the guide, you would have been lost. And so the same is true with the Lord. We don't have to plunge right into something without God being aware of what's going to happen. And sometimes God is gracious and gives us a little peek of what will take place. I've had many decisions to make over the years about ministry. I have had decisions about which church to serve and where to go. And one of my biggest decisions was, should I leave my home state of Pennsylvania and should I come to Michigan? And God led me and God guided me. I asked God to speak to me through the counsel of my family and of close friends. And my grandmother Landis especially spoke a word to me of the sense of the calling that I was supposed to be here. So God is our guide, and we can ask, what am I to do, O Lord? How would you lead me? We don't always get a sense of what it ought to be, but God is there, and God understands. And God has sent Jesus Christ to walk with us and talk with us and give us that guidance. Sometimes, you know, we can have anxiety. We can wonder what tomorrow holds. We are uncertain about the future, and sometimes we can even wake up in the middle of the night and be anxious and fearful. But when we know that God is aware of us and of tomorrow, it can give us a sense of peace. And God knows not only our thoughts today, but God knows our hopes and our dreams. And God is able to fulfill our hopes and our dreams like no one else. Let me ask you this morning, what are you hoping for in this coming year? God knows what you need, and God knows what is best for your life. It may be today that you have a dream that's bigger than what other people think is possible. In fact, folks might think that it's actually foolish what you're hoping for. But God, if it's His purpose, can bring it to pass. There was a guy by the name of Walt who was fired by the Kansas City Star newspaper because the editor said he lacked creativity in his drawings. He had these silly little sketches of animals. But he kept on pursuing his dreams and doing what he did well, and his drawing of a mouse became a global symbol. He transformed the world of entertainment with his cartoon characters and developed a film dynasty. Walt's last name was Disney. God can fulfill my dreams and your dreams too. But this morning, you may be in this service and you're just not feeling very happy or fulfilled with the direction of your life. In fact, 2018 doesn't look all that good to you. You may be thinking, what's going on with my health? You may be wondering, what's going to happen with my job? You may be uncertain about how are some problems going to work out in my family? And maybe you just feel like you're not accomplishing all that you would hope to do. But friends, I want to tell you, God knows the path that you and I should take, and God knows the decisions that we need to make. God knows what is best for us on the journey in life. And when we acknowledge that, oh God, that you know, then that's the beginning of the breakthrough of what God wants to do in our lives. God knows best in our journey in life. The scripture again says, you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Nothing we do, friends, is unknown to God. Because God knows all about us and where our journey in life is headed, again, we can trust in God. Every place we go, God is there. And we can trust God to give purpose to all we do. We are never alone. Well, how does God know us so well? Well, first, because the Holy Spirit is in us, and the Holy Spirit is in the world, and the Holy Spirit is discerning what can happen in the next hour, in the next day, week, month, or year. But second of all, God knows us so well because God designed us. Listen to this scripture, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. What happens when we learn that a child is to be born? We are so excited. We want to know what this child will be like. So, in today's world, mothers go and have an ultrasound examination. They want to know if the baby is a little boy or a little girl. They want to know if it's healthy. When they find out everything is all right, it often brings them to tears to see their child healthy and doing well. Sometimes the results are not as encouraging. But God knew every part about us. God knew our DNA. God knew all the things that were forming in us, and it was God who has designed us as human beings. The human body, friend, is amazing. We will be studying it for the next 1,000 years and still not know all about it. You could have 10 PhDs on the human anatomy and still only touch the surface of how each organ, the circulatory system, the nervous system, and the skeleton system works. And what is even more astounding is, I hate to tell you this, but you know it, but we don't act like it, but none of us had hardly anything to do with how we were shaped or formed. I started thinking the other day about things in my life that I had no say over. I had no control over the genetics of my life, the color of my eyes, the color of my hair, the propensity I have for different things. I had no say in the fact that I grew up in the little town of Smoketown. How many ever heard of that town before I came to this church? See? No one outside of Lancaster really knows where it is. I had no choice in who my parents were, of who my brothers and sisters were. Neither did you. You did not get to decide what vocation your mother or father had. You did not get to decide what school district you were first put in. Maybe decisions were made later. When you grew up as a child, you had no say over who your neighbors were. You did not get to decide which country you were born in. You and I could have been born in the 1800s or the 1700s. But all of these things happened, and God created and shaped us, and we're out of our control. Sure, God gives us free will, thank goodness, and we can make a difference on those things in our lives. But the only person who knew the circumstances of our life ahead of time was God. And here's the question. If God knew all this and placed you in that setting, isn't God able to direct the affairs of my life and yours? Can we not trust in God, especially in Jesus, who he sent into the world to live inside of us, to walk with us, to be our shepherd and guide? We need to give God more credit. We need to say, Lord, I trust you. And let me say this. No matter what you are like, whether you're tall or short or skinny or fat, blonde or dark-haired, gifted or not gifted in music or math or whatever your talents are, we are still all fearfully and wonderfully made. Could somebody just say amen? That's a very gentle amen. That's all right. And it doesn't matter what limitations you have. You are precious in God's sight. And God has a very special purpose for you. And we need to get beyond this thing where if somebody's not as smart as we think they ought to be, if somebody's not as capable as we think they ought to be, if somebody doesn't make the decisions we think they ought to make, we need to get beyond that. And we need to realize that every human being is precious and special in God's sight, no matter who they are. And I want to tell you something. At the core of one of the most wicked things that happens in our world, bullying in schools happens because kids do not view other kids as being fearfully and wonderfully and amazingly made. Could somebody else say amen? My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. You and I are precious to God. God gave you all that you have, and God has given your life a purpose. There's no one else in the world like you. Your wife says, thank goodness. No one else has your insights, your experience, your same abilities. No matter, again, if you look enviously at others who seem to have more than you do, you are very special to God and a unique creation shaped by God's design and the circumstances of your life. And here is the reason for all of it. You are not just created for yourself, but you are created for God to know Jesus Christ and to serve God in the world, to love people and to make a difference. Could somebody else say amen? I'm sorry, friends. We're starting to get Pentecostal here, but we don't. You know, one lady said to me in one church, she says, you know, it gets me a little nervous that somebody raises their hands now and then, or once in a while somebody says amen. She said, I'm afraid we're just going to get too carried away. And I said, ma'am, you don't need to worry about that with Methodists. You're created to impact others for good, to make a difference in their lives. And the difference we're to make is to affirm, encourage, and bring out the best potential in every human being we encounter. God has a significant purpose for all of you, and we must find it, we must embrace it, and live it out. But you know, many people have no idea what the purpose of their life is. It's recorded in the book that a Dr. Hugh Moorhead, chairman of the philosophy department at Northeastern Illinois University, wrote 250 of the world's greatest philosophers, psychologists, and thinkers. And he asked them what the purpose of life was. Among them were Carl Jung and T.S. Eliot and many more. Some just guessed. Some admitted they just made up the purpose for life, and others said they were clueless. One very intelligent person wrote back and said, when you find out what it is, let me know. In high school, I remember being in a philosophy class and wrestling with the wisdom, discovery of the world, and I wrote this down. Philosophy is human beings studying the meaning of life that only God can truly answer. Friends, it seems that without a God in the center, we're clueless. And I want to tell you this morning, God led me then after that high school experience to find that purpose and direction and calling in my life to be a pastor. God knows who you are, friends, what you are and where you're going. God knows what's in your heart and mind, and God knows your dreams and your hopes. People are starting to wake up to this. Bill Gates has a $125 million home, 66,000 square feet. It's filled with some of the most amazing high-tech equipment that you'd ever imagine. It's said that when you walk through the home, it even knows the kind of music you'd like to play and the kind of climate you'd like. But Gates has decided, even though he has $88 billion, that he wants to give it all away. Because he wants to have purpose. He wants to make a difference, impact education, health, and other things in the world. Without a purpose, all the wealth in the world is nothing. God wants to speak to me, and God wants to speak to you to reveal our purpose. People desperately want to know. This book that we're studying, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. The original book is The Purpose-Driven Life, and now the new title, What on Earth Am I Here For? Has sold 34 million, pushing up probably to 35, 40 million. That's how many people really want to know their purpose. I suggest you get a copy of this book. We're going to have them in the back or out in the front. I suggest you get in a life group, so that God can speak to you. You can see Heidi Kidd in the back. God wants me and God wants you to live out your purpose. Because you may have an insight for our church. You may have an insight for our community. You may have an insight that could change the world. And of course, as I've said, at the core of our purpose is to know our Creator. It seems pretty logical that if God created us, that we ought to get to know the one who made us better. We do this by talking to God through prayer, by searching out His Word, and by being in conversation with others who can help us see our gifts. There are gifts in you that the rest of the church doesn't even know about. I'm just guessing. I'm not even guessing. I know there are music gifts out there that could be used. I know there's gifts of art. I know there's gifts of relationship. I know there's gifts of leadership that you have yet to put in place. And God wants to show you and use you. And of course, we discover what God wants us to be as we're in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our vision statement is we want to know and love and then share Christ. When we know Christ, then God can show us how to live out our calling at work with our family, our community, and the world. And when we know our purpose, then we can help others find their purpose in Jesus Christ. And of course, our purpose is not just for the 70, 80, 90, or whatever years that we're upon the earth, but our purpose is going to go into all eternity. And at the heart, again, of God's purpose is sending Jesus. Because God saw that we as human beings had turned. We had turned to sin. We had turned to idols rather than to the living God. And so God sent Jesus into the world to forgive us of our sin, to give us eternal life and abundant life and a relationship with our Creator, that we might know Him and love Him.